All right, let's continue our coverage of the truckers' protest and occupation. It is day 11, so what comes next? Joining me now is Ottawa's Police Chief Peter Slowly. Chief, good morning.
Morning, Leslie.
Thank you for your time. You know, it's been a busy week and a bit. Let's talk first and foremost, the very latest. We saw an increase in police action on the weekend, seizing fuel supplies, making arrests. Is there more of that coming today?
Leslie, certainly we were very clear on Friday at the press conference. I'll repeat it again. We are going to be interdicting anything that is supporting and enabling the ongoing demonstrations and occupations and unlawful behavior in this city. We're going after fuel supplies and any of the supports that enables that. You've seen a significant operation overnight that is ongoing. 7 arrests, seizures of large amounts of propane fuel, a fuel tanker. We're holding that area now to make sure it doesn't become reoccupied. That's a challenge for us, but we're going to hold it and lock it down. Any other place where they have displaced to, we are attacking that as quickly as possible to make sure they don't take root again. We've also dismantled the encampment that was at Confederation Park. That was done through peaceful negotiation, but ultimately if the negotiation was unsuccessful, we would have forcefully ended that encampment. And we've fenced that area in, and we're going to hold that to make sure that that doesn't become misused and unlawfully accessed. Again, those efforts are ongoing. We have other operations that are underway. And we'll report on them as we can. Over 500 tickets were issued. We target hardened the city. We closed roads. We had a 50% reduction in the number of trucks and demonstrators in the protest. And Sunday, there was almost nothing, including counter-protests. Our measures are taking effect and will continue to do so. The word is out, Leslie. Don't come to protest. If you do, do it lawfully. If you break the law, there will be consequences. Those supporting and enabling this financially or fuel, we've shut down the GoFundMe. We're continuing to go after the money. We'll go after the fuel, and we'll go after the lawbreakers.
What about the trucks that are in the downtown core? As you secure these sites where they're gathering, what about those that are doing a lot of damage for the residents? Are they next?
Thank you. The surge and contain strategy, again, announced on Friday. The 500 offenses that we've ticketed for, we have new techniques we're going to be using to go after those who are committing bylaw, traffic offenses, criminal code offenses. We've arrested drivers for criminal code offenses. We've given them provincial offenses tickets and bylaws, and we're towing vehicles now, and that will continue. We're beefing that up.
So the message to those who are here is you're turning up the heat. Is that it? Is that a safe statement?
We've been turning up the heat for the past week. We're now getting the resources finally that we've been asking for. Others are coming. I've been negotiating that for the last 7 days straight. I want to thank my municipal police partners, Tom Creek from the OPP, and the RCMP. We need more, a lot more, but we're getting more coming in. As they come in, we can free up resources to attack those who are attacking this city. That's the key. We've been able to significantly reduce the amount of trucks and demonstrators, reduce the weekend-to-weekend demonstrations. That's freeing up resources, and we can go back into our streets and take them back for our residents and our businesses.
Give me a time scenario. By the end of the week, how long can this continue as you roll out the strategy? How long is it going to take?
I appreciate everybody wants a timeline and a deadline and a red line. I cannot govern this police service by timelines and deadlines. I'm guaranteeing you, myself and every member of this service are 100% committed to ending this as quickly and as safely and as lawfully as we possibly can. I have been doing, and the city have been doing, everything we can to get the types of resources we need. That is an unrelenting effort and will continue until this demonstration is concluded. We are inviting, encouraging, and invoking all 3 levels of government to bring what they can bring to the effort, because this is not a police-only solution for what is a national situation.
The mayor of Ottawa has said he's spoken to some federal cabinet ministers about the possibility of appointing a mediator. They say they're going to take it back to cabinet, I guess, to ask the question of the prime minister. Is that something you're talking about when you say other than policing solutions?
I want to thank City Manager Steve Kanellakis and the mayors and the staff for their efforts to engage the other 2 levels of government. All those elements of mediation, negotiation, discussion are being discussed. I can't speak for them, but I can tell you that is an active effort being done between the city and provincial and federal counterparts, and I'm supporting it directly.
All right, let's talk about some of the criticism. It starts with disappointment in the slowness in which the way police have handled this. In other words, the press conference came a few days after it was expected to come, where you put basically a line in the sand on Friday instead of Monday when you thought it was going to be over, all the way to calls for your resignation. Let's start there and let's get it on the record. Any plans to step down, Chief?
Absolutely none. Came here to do a job. I'm going to get that job done all the way through. Absolutely committed. Have a great team here. Great officers. We've got great partners in the city. We're going to get this done. I will focus on moving forward, though. People have to understand, and I know it's difficult, and I have huge empathy. I still see the suffering every day of residents around here. I hear the stories. Friends and neighbors of mine, officers who actually live in the downtown core, I spoke to one coming off a 12-hour night shift, frozen, going to his home directly in front of where the Wellington area is. I've heard directly from members who have been living and going through this, and it is terrible. It's terrible what's been done to them, and we're committed to fixing it. But understand, until we started to get the level of resources from my efforts and the city's efforts during the middle of the week, we couldn't go out there and tell people what we were going to do until we had the resources to start to do it. So we've reduced the size of the demonstration to free up resources. We've brought in additional resources through the middle and end of the week. That's why we could make those announcements, and that's why we can turn up the heat. And the more resources I get, the more heat I will turn up. Even if the tap of resources from outside slows down, we're committed to doing everything we can, but we alone cannot do this. We need to get additional resources. This is an and exercise, and we've been doing that faithfully and fully from the beginning. We are doing everything we can, and I need to continue to engage others to bring what they can to this solution.
Did you underestimate the numbers, the power that they hold to be able to keep people in place? I mean, in the planning stage, was there a scenario, what if they don't leave? And if this is the solution, it's not working.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Leslie. I've reflected a lot on that. I got to tell you, I remember back in March of 2020 when the global pandemic was announced and people started talking about plans and what we would do, and we would isolate, we keep 6 feet apart, and we wear masks. It's an unprecedented pandemic, and we've had to adjust plans continually as we realize the threat and nature of the threat changes. It's bigger, it changes, it morphs into a new variation. It's kind of like what we're dealing with here. We knew it was going to be big. We didn't know exactly what it was. We put what we could in place. And as we learned from the initial days, we've made adjustments. This is an unprecedented situation. There's no plan for this. We are literally trying to understand what it is, make real-time changes, get the resources necessary, and adjust. We are now in a much more forward-leaning area. We have more resources, more intelligence, more understanding, and we're able to be more effective in our enforcement. That will continue to increase until we've done everything we possibly can to end this. But we need additional help and engagement, as we've been trying to do over the last several days.
Does that include the Army potentially, Chief?
That's a decision that's at the federal government. As I've said, we've put everything on the table. The different levels of government that have those decision-making authorities will have to ultimately make those decisions.
Would you welcome them? Would you support that decision?
That is a weighty decision. I've explained that before. I've seen that in different conflict zones in my own policing career in Kosovo during the peacekeeping mission there. There are some small utilitarian elements, but there are massive risks. And that is a decision for people with far more expertise and far more knowledge of the law and those types of military aid to civil power options. All I've said is everything has to be on the table, even if it's rejected at the end of the day for all the right reasons.
We're hearing from tow truck companies that they're refusing to remove the drivers, the trucks, if you were to call them in. Was that a possibility in your planning? Did you see that coming?
We absolutely saw that as a risk right from the beginning. We knew that we were going to need a lot of tow trucks, and there's just heavy tow trucks in particular, and there simply aren't a lot of them, even in private and public stocks. We've reached out to all three levels of government to get what we can, and the city has provided us with two. Those are the only two that we have to date. We're seeking procurement opportunities through municipal, provincial, and federal. That has been active. We saw and still see in places like Alberta, in Coutts, where they tried to attempt a heavy enforcement. It was tow trucks that became one of the major logistical barriers to that. But we're still looking at other options in order to either impound the trucks in place or to take them lawfully into custody and remove them from the area. Everything is on the table.
Again, time, if I could. You're done here, Chief. So are the people of Ottawa. At what point do you say move in and move those trucks out?
Leslie, that's what we've been doing. We've been moving in and dismantling the infrastructure that supports it. We've removed encampments in and around the red zone and the core of the area. We are targeting the highest risk areas with the resources we have available and dismantling them. We've been doing that since Friday, and we've had two major successes. Confederation Park is gone. That entire encampment, the wood structure, all of the fuel, anything that could have been a risk to the women, children, and neighborhoods, that is entirely gone through negotiation and hardcore planning. We've dismantled the fuel operation at Coventry. Gone. 7 arrests. People going to jail. We will continue to do that on a daily basis.
With due respect, Chief, how did bouncy castles get put up, and not to mention saunas past police lines?
Saunas did not get past police lines. Saunas got over to Coventry. They are gone. That's as far as I'm aware. If there's new things that have gotten in, please understand the footprint that we're talking about. We're having things from Coventry over to Sir John A. Macdonald. That is a massive footprint. We do not have the resources to watch every open space and block everything that's possibly coming into the downtown core. As we get through our priorities and we get into the interdiction of the red zones, anything in there, including bouncy castles, will be removed.
Who dropped the ball?
I don't think anybody dropped the ball, Leslie. This is an unprecedented situation, and we're all responding to it, some more effectively than others. We've been 100% committed to this, as we will be right to the very end.
When did you lose control of the crowd, Chief?
I don't think we ever lost control of the crowd, Leslie. We had 3,000 trucks come into the city, and at the height of, I heard as much as 10, 15,000 at the height of the demonstrations. That is a massive incursion that happened within hours of the city. We contained it without any loss of life, injury, or rioting, and as soon as we got resources, we've been able to get back on top of it. We've reduced that footprint right down to a very small amount. Now we have 50% less demonstrators coming in. We are definitely making progress based on our efforts and our partners' efforts.
Final question, Chief. What is the lesson you've learned, and how are you going to prepare so it doesn't happen again?
I learned this lesson a long time ago. You can plan and plan and plan. There are asymmetric and unprecedented elements that always come in. You've got to be flexible and move fast to recover and come up with new innovative solutions, and it's a big tent. You need people from all levels of civil society to solve these massive, unprecedented, asymmetric issues.
Ottawa Police Chief Peter Slowly, thank you, sir, for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie.
All right, coming up to 9:48, we'll take a quick break. There you have it. The police chief saying they're continuing to move in. The actions are underway, and slowly but surely they are getting to the core, that is, using the actions that they have at their disposal with added resources coming in now. Everything still remains on the table, as you heard the chief there. What do you think? Text me, 580-580. Your thoughts on what Chief Peter Slowly just told me. Next, News Talk 580 CFRA.